Good morning, everyone. Some of you might have noticed we haven't been around for a few weeks. Just wanted to know where we were at, down in Pearson, preaching down there in a church. So just wanted to let you know that. I think before we get going here, we should pray for the situation that's going on in Ukraine and for the people in Russia as well. There are victims in Russia as well. And so I'd like for you to agree with me, and let's believe that God is going to be God in the Ukraine, in Russia, and around the world, okay? Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. We are a believing bunch of people. God, we believe in your power. We believe in your sovereignty. We believe in your wisdom. And Father, the governments of this world are trying to play your role, but God, we know that you're going to have your way in the end. And Father, we want to lift up right now the suffering people in Ukraine and the suffering people in Russia. God, those in Ukraine that don't have a home, they're leaving the country. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how they're going to get wherever they are going. God, we pray that you would minister to them. And God, that you would be their all-sufficiency during this time. We pray too, God, that during this time of horror and evil, God, that you would cause good to come, that there would be souls that would be brought into the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray for the pastors that are working in churches in the Ukraine and in Russia, God, that you would give them strength and encourage them, and God, give them supernatural power to be a light in this darkness. Father, we declare this, and God, we believe we're praying in exact accordance with your will. So, Lord, we believe that you're going to do this. We call this as being done because we ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And could I just encourage you to continue to pray for these dear souls? We kind of get lost in our own world, and we run to McDonald's and forget that people don't have any food. And just pray that God would make you aware and mindful of what's going on beyond where you are. This is when God really looks at the church and needs the church to stand up. And let's take that challenge from God, all right? All right. We've been talking about, or you've been talking about the ministry gifts. I started to say motivational gifts. The ministry gifts. And before we get into that this morning, I want to share something with you. And this will come into play a little bit later on. In Joshua chapter 3, you don't have to turn to it because that's not where I'm going to go. I just want to talk to you about that for a second. You might remember that Moses has died, and now the torch is passed to Joshua. And in Joshua 3, God speaks to Joshua. He says, tell the people to get up and get ready to move. They're going to go in and take the promised land. Now, let me make an application here. How many of you are trying to get someplace that you believe God wants you to be? Every hand ought to be going up. We need to be growing in the things of God. So we are all kind of in the shoes of Joshua, all trying to get someplace that we want to be because God wants us to be there. And so God says this. He says, this is the specific instruction. He says, set the Ark of the Covenant and send it out. He says, I think it's 2,000 cubits. It's actually 3,000 feet or about a half a mile, a little over a half a mile. Said, as you go to approach the promised land that I'm leading you to, set the Ark of the Covenant out there, and the Levites, of course, are carrying it. Send that Ark out there, and in case you don't know, the Ark of the Covenant was the box that basically contained the Spirit of God. And so what he was saying is, before you go to battle, send the Holy Spirit out ahead of you and let him fight the battle for you. Now, we don't have an Ark of the Covenant anymore. Do you know why? Because we are the Ark of the Covenant. Do you understand that? When we became born again, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, And now we carry, we are the box that carries the Holy Spirit. So in that day, the Spirit of God went ahead to prepare the way and wage warfare. Now you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, so there is no reason for you to be timid or hold back, but plow into your battle knowing that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you, and that same power will fight every battle that you have. You know what the problem is for a lot of folks? They're too afraid to enter into the battle, so they just sit back and let life go by day after day. That's not what God wants for you. So as we talk about now the gifts of the, or the why do I keep saying that? Everything but what we've been talking about. The what are they? The giftings, you know, the motivational gifts. Ministry gifts, that's the word I was looking for. First of all, I want to say I've listened to all the services while we were gone, and I think everyone that shared the word has done an excellent job. And by now, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind as to what the gifts are. And if you took the test and listened to the Holy Spirit, you probably know exactly what your gift is. So I'm going to ask, how many of you know what your gift is? Good. All right. So now what I've been asked to do this morning is share with you the first step of implementation. Okay, we got it. Now what do we do with it? Okay, we use it, but what are the steps to using it? And let me just tell you, I'm going to start on one this morning, and I don't know what happened to the other two, but the first gift or the first step towards using the gift that God has given you is making yourself available to Him. The second step would be letting the Spirit of God lead you, and that would involve the third step. Anytime you are led of the Spirit, you must understand this idea of discernment so that you make sure you are listening to the right spirit, because even born-again, Spirit-filled people have devils talking to them, giving them the wrong idea, thinking that that must be God when actually it's not God at all. So without discernment, you're not going to know which way to go. Now, I want to say something else here as well. There is, when you got saved, when you became a born-again child of God, you received the Holy Spirit, but there's a second act of the Holy Spirit that I want to pray with you about when we get done today, and that is being filled with the Spirit. Now, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, make a note. Acts chapter 19, Paul is passing through, I believe he was in Ephesus, and it says he came to some elders, and he asked them this question. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? What did he mean by that? And I'm going to give you just my definition of it. He was saying, have you yielded to the Spirit of God so that the fullness of God's Spirit can overflow in your life? And I want to ask you the same question. I would assume that most of you are born again. That's probably never a good assumption to make, but I'll do it anyways. You're all born again. Are you filled with the Spirit? Does the Spirit lead you? Does He empower you? Do you see supernatural things working through you? You get inspirations that you know are from God. Nobody could talk you down off of it. You know these things are from God. That is available to every child of God. Okay? So, let's go back now to this idea of our gift. We all know what our gift is. Where do we go now? Turn to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. As you're turning that, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. And when I was getting this message around, I began thinking of the different churches we've pastored down through the years. And one church in particular, I would get many gifts at the end of every service. The little kids that would sit in the service would draw pictures of me while I was preaching. And they'd have the stuff that was behind me in the pulpit and all that stuff. And at the end of the service, they'd come up with a big smile on their face and hand me these pictures. And I'd go and say, do I really look like that? But I'd get all these pictures. And then at Christmas time, and God bless these people, but at Christmas time, I'd get all kinds of pictures of Jesus kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, or Jesus on the cross, or Jesus on the Mount of Olives. I even got a picture one time of Jesus laying on the beach at the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, these people come in to see me all day long. I got to do something with these pictures. I can't just stick them in a closet somewhere. So I had more stuff in my office than you could ever imagine. All these pictures that the kids would paint of me or draw of me during a service were all on a counter there, and pictures all over the wall. Why? Because I wanted to make sure that the gifts that I was being given were being displayed. Now, I want to impress that on you this morning as well. The gift that you have been given, you've all admitted this morning that you've identified the gift. Now, it's time to put it on display. It's time to use it. And understand this, that God is not going to give you a gift unless he knows he's given you everything that's necessary to exercise the gift. So excuses like, well, I know that's what, I think that's what I've got, but, you know, I can't talk, or I don't think very well, or I'm not that organized, or whatever. All those excuses have to go out the window if you, and you already admitted, I kind of tricked you there, you already know what your gift is. So any excuse that you might offer to not use it is invalid, because if God knew that you weren't able to do the gift, he wouldn't have given you the gift. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Please say it real loud.
Amen.
Well, that was music to my ears. I've been preaching in a Presbyterian church, and if I say amen, they about have a heart attack. So that was nice to hear. Thank you so much. All right. So let's look at this. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, he's saying you guys would always do what I told you to do under the direction of the Holy Spirit when I was with you, and now I'm asking you to do even more while I'm gone. He says this, work out your own salvation. Now let's stop right there. What does he mean by work out your own salvation? Cultivate what you believe, and cultivate what you've been given. May I say this? A short step towards the big answer, work out your spiritual maturity. Become mature in the Lord. And what does this have to do with the gifting? The gifting, the exercise of the gift, is that step that God has given you to help you begin to grow in your faith. So he says, get moving here. Work out your own salvation. Absolutely develop your spiritual maturity. But he says this, with fear and with trembling. In other words, to not be dishonoring to God. Now, what does that mean? That means if God has given you the gift, you've already acknowledged it, you're ready to move in it. If you don't move in it, then that's a discredit to God. It's a waste of a resource that God has given to you. Now, understand this, that Jesus said, go out to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And let me just bring that down to where all of us are. Our Jerusalem would be our own home. Our Judea would be this church. Our Samaria would be this city. And the uttermost parts of the earth would be any place beyond that that God has in mind for you to minister. So whatever your gift is, a good place to start is in your home. A second place to start would be right here in the assembly. And then in this community, and you'll discover that as you take those steps, God will lead you from one place to the next. Are you all with me? All right, look at verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you, and I want to stop right there. that emphasizes what I just said to you. It is God that is going to give you the authority to do this. It is God that's giving you the power to do it, and it's God that has given you the gift. Now, I don't know if that shakes you at all, but when I stop to think that the God that has created this universe, the God that has put this world together, the God that causes everything to operate as he says that it should, has taken the time and the effort to drop one of his gifts from heaven into your heart and then given you a commission, I want you to go out and use this. That is a mind-blowing thought. I mean, if you stop and think about that and really grasp this, that God in heaven would entrust this spiritual gift to you, equipping you, knowing that you might have some hesitations, but then even giving you the Holy Spirit to empower you to go out and use it. Again, all he's looking for is somebody to say, I'll go. I'll go. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, let's break that last part of that verse down. His good pleasure is for you to find your fulfillment in life. So when you use the gifts of the Spirit or this gift that God has identified in you or gifts, he is actually doing that not only so that you will be of service to the kingdom, but so that you will be fulfilled in your own life. Is there anybody here that's old enough to remember the TV show Dobie Gillis? Do you remember one of the guys on Dobie Gillis? Now they call them hippies. Then they called them beatniks. You remember the guy? Maynard G. Krebs. And he was always sitting around trying to find truth, sitting on the corner playing his bongos, muttering stuff that didn't make any sense. And when Dobie Gillis would finally get it out of him, what are you doing? Man, I'm just trying to find the meaning of life. Well, you know something? Maynard probably spoke for many people in the church. There are many people in the church that go through the motions every Sunday. They go home and try to go through the motions, but they're actually living a non-fulfilled life. And I'm trying to tell you this morning that now that you have identified the gift, if you will let God lead you in it and use you in it, not only will the kingdom of God benefit, but you will benefit as well. Because as you walk in the gifting that God has given to you, you are going to mature. And when you mature, you are going to find fulfillment in your life. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm a little bit intimidated by the people that preach here because they come up with a very outlined, structured point A, point B, point C. My sermons are like looking in a pot of goulash, I admit it. Isaiah chapter 6, and before I read this, let me say this to you, that the discovery of your gift, now listen to this closely, the discovery or revelation of your gift is actually a call to ministry. The discovery of your gift is actually a call to ministry. I had, in one of our churches, we had a Christian ed director. And I hired him, and we went up to northern Minnesota to pack him up and move him down to where we were at, just outside of Minneapolis. And when I walked into his garage, me and a bunch of guys from the church drove a U-Haul up there, and we walked in his garage, and the whole wall was full of bright, shiny chrome tools. I mean, there was more tools in that garage hanging on the wall. And when we packed them, he wanted each one of them wrapped. And I was thinking, why aren't you wrapping them then? But anyways, he wanted each one of these tools wrapped. And I was helping him wrap. And I noticed there's no scratches on these tools. There's no oil on these tools. They're just bright, shiny tools. You know, open-end wrenches and all that kind of stuff. So we got him back down to to our town, Elk River, and unpacked all of his house. And I went over there a few weeks later, and all those tools were up in his garage. And about a month after that, something went wrong with my car. I forget what it was, but his name was Chuck Borden. I went into his office and I said, "Hey, Chuck, here's what's going on with my car. Do you think you could help me with this?" He said, "Well, I don't know anything about cars." Yeah, that's what I said too. I said, you don't know how to do this or help me with this?" He said, "I'm not a mechanic." And I said, "Then what do you have all those tools for?" And you know what his response was? "I just like to look at them when I go in the garage." I said, "You're a fake. You're a fraud, man." He said, I'm not a mechanic. I don't know the first thing about a car. I just like to look at the tools." Listen, God's got a kingdom full of people that like to look at their gifts but don't do anything with it. Now, I'm not trying to be condemning. Yeah. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just calling a spade a spade. We've got a situation here, and it's time we do something. And listen, when you start using the gift, you're going to see things happen in this body. Things are going to change right here when you start operating in your gift. Now, there's some preparation that's involved in getting ourselves ready to be activated. And this is my job today to tell you what that is. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to go through some history here before I get to the punchline. So follow along as I read. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." How many of you have heard this verse before? Remember the song we used to sing? "I saw the Lord, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train," don't you know it? "And his train filled the temple. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The angels cried glory, the angels cried glory, the angels cried glory is the Lord." That's what we're singing about. Now, I know some of you that are Bible scholars said his name is Uzziah, not Uzziah. I'm choosing Uzziah because Uzziah sounds gross to me. Uzziah. I don't like the way that sounds. So we're going to call him Uzziah today, all right? And Uzziah was a very good king, but towards the end of his life, he did something he shouldn't have done, and that was he went into the temple and tried to offer incense on the altar, and God smit him down with leprosy, and he died that way. Now, why is that important? Because Isaiah was an understudy of Uzziah. So Isaiah watched all this happen. Now, at the time that chapter 6 comes around, if you read the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, you will see that Isaiah has already been out doing the work of God. As a matter of fact, by the time we get to chapter 6, he has already pronounced 6 woes on Israel. So this guy wasn't afraid. He went out. He was bold. He was kind of like Elijah and Elisha. He was out there pronouncing the woes, telling people they needed to get right. He was being used of God. But let's follow along here and see what happens. Notice, too, and I want to point this out, that there's an emphasis on the throne. There's an emphasis on the throne. As a matter of fact, 35 times in the gospel or in the word, you will see that a throne or the throne of God is referred to. Now, why is that significant? Because the throne of God represents the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He owes no explanations to anybody. He just does what he does because he is God. And everybody in this room ought to be thankful that we serve a sovereign God, because everybody around you would have said you had no business or no right to think you're going to heaven. But a sovereign God said, "It's my choice. If he accepts me, he goes no matter what all of you think." So I thank God for the sovereignty of God. I thank God for the sovereignty of God. There is not another religious system in the world that talks about a throne. We as Christians are the only religious structure on the face of the earth that talks about a throne. That means we serve the only sovereign God. In fact, you know, we often will refer to God as the God above all gods, King of kings and Lord of lords. I even stopped saying that stuff. You know why? Because there is no other God besides our God. There is no other God. Everything else is fake. There's one God. There's only ever been one God, and that God is sovereign, and that's what Isaiah was looking at, sitting on his sovereign throne, and his glory or his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and two they flew. What does that mean? He's got angels sitting above the throne. They've got two of their wings over their faces because they would not think to look on the glory of God. They've got two covering their feet. Why? Because it would be disrespectful to show their feet before a holy God. And with two they fly. And we go on to verse number 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, some commentators say that the holy, each holy was for one member of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jewish folklore says that when Jews were expressing divinity, they would repeat the word three times, choose whichever one you want. All I know is that the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy," to a sovereign God. When we worship God, we ought to be doing the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Can you say it with me? Holy, holy, holy is our God. It goes on to say, verse number 3 again, and one said unto the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You know, I was sitting in our TV room one day, and I have, once in a while, I get anxieties and concerns about things, people I'm praying for and so forth. And I was sitting there looking out the window. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and about 7:30, the sun was getting ready to come up. And have you ever had God speak to you? You just know it's God. You didn't hear it here, but you heard it in here, and you just know it's God. I hadn't said a word. I hadn't said, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to." I was just sitting there, and these concerns were on my mind. And all of a sudden, in my chest, I hear, "Have you ever worried about the sun coming up? It comes up every day." Now, some days you might not be able to see it because of the clouds. It comes up every day. It goes down. The moon comes up. And God said, "Who do you think makes all that happen?" The sovereign God. And I want to pass that on to you as well, not only in terms of your giftings, but in terms of anything else that might be of concern to you. Every day when the sun comes up, you've got another promise from God saying, "I did it again. For billions of years, I've been making sure that that which I created operated the way that I created it to operate." And if God Almighty, the sovereign God, can do that, he can move in your life for whatever it is you're believing him for right now. That deserves an amen. Amen. He said, verse 4, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with his smoke," that is the glory cloud, the same cloud that led the children of Israel. It says, "Then said I, woe is me." Now, before I read this in entirety, let me again tell you, this guy has been out being used of God. But now he has a vision, a revelation of Almighty God. And the first thing that he says is that, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that whether it be here in the church or at home when you're in worship, that if you don't see the glory of God,
you will never be refined into what it is that God wants you to be. If you are never refined, if your heart is never revealed to you, you will never be in a spot to go out and be used of God. And be assured of this, every child of God has been called. Every child of God is expected by the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit to go out and be used so that he can reach this world the way that he desires. I hope I'm getting it through to you this morning. This is not an option. You've received a gift. God's given you a command. It's time to go. We've got to get ourselves ready. And the first step of being ready is to stand in the presence of Almighty God and say, Father, reveal to me whatever it is that's holding me back. Reveal to me, it's my mouth, it's my body, it's my mind, it's my speech, whatever it is, God, that's slowing me down from being used by you. I want it revealed this morning so that I can confess it and get rid of it and get in the battle. He says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. The angel takes a pair of tongs after Isaiah has confessed his sin, or his weakness is his mouth. And what does the angel do? Apply the answer directly to the need. Now, we talked a minute ago about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I realize that in a lot of circles, that has a lot of bad connotations. People rolling around on the floor, jumping over pews, all that stuff. By the way, I've done all of it. And enjoyed every minute of it. But I want to tell you that that's not what that experience means. The power of the Holy Spirit that is necessary to fulfill your gift does two things. It is a fire. God is a consuming fire. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God, the first thing that's going to happen is God is going to take that coal off the altar and burn out everything in your life that is impure and unholy. See, we've been so geared to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, producing a sign, something that will get the crowd, wow, you know, all that sort of thing. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an internal thing. And it starts by cleaning house, by burning out everything that is ungodly, unrighteous, making you unfit to be used in the gift. And the second thing it does is it begins to build up everything that is necessary for you to operate in the gift. So at the end of this service, when I ask how many want to be filled with the Spirit of God, everybody who's not filled ought to raise their hand if you're sincere and legitimate about going out and being used in the gift that you all say you understand what it is. Does that make sense to you? Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? You know what that was right there? When God said, whom shall I send? Do you think God didn't know? God knew exactly. And God knows exactly you. What was God doing there? He was saying, examine your heart. Answer the call that I'm putting on your heart. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then what did Isaiah said? He said, then said I, here am I, send me. Listen, Isaiah wanted to be the answer to God's question. when you are in a spot where you want to be the answer to God's question, God is going to use you. Again, that takes nothing on your part in terms of ability, skill, talent, ability to talk. It takes none of that. All it takes is somebody with a clean heart standing in front of God saying, God, I want to be the answer to your question. I want to go. Now, it is so necessary for you to spend time in the presence of God so that God can identify these things in you, whatever they may be, so that he can use you. Did you ever notice, Phil, do you guys remember when Miller's Shoe Store was over here on the corner? It was Jefferson and Main? Southeast corner. And I used to go in there. I was raised in the neighborhood, and they had these mirrors, little tiny mirrors on the floor. Remember that? I don't think they have that in shoe stores anymore. But we used to go in there, and, you know, me and the kids in the neighborhood, we'd lay down on the floor and clean our teeth and stuff looking at the mirror. And the guy, Miller, he'd come by and shoe it, get out of here. And then when I got older, I realized what those mirrors were for. When you walk by and you look down and see how crummy your shoes look, and then you put one of their shoes on and walk by and see how good you look. There's a reason those mirrors are down there on the floor. It's called a sales tactic. And I want to again say to you that being in the presence of God is exactly that. God's not condemning you, but he's pointing out things to you that need to be lost so that you can advance the things of God. Now, when you advance the things of God, verse number 9, it says this. And he said, now listen, this is God's command to Isaiah. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. You might know this, that Jeremiah, not Isaiah, but Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because for all the years that he preached, he never had one convert. We might say it this way, his church never grew. But he faithfully preached anyways. You know what God's saying to Isaiah here? I'm going to just boil it down for you. When you go for no reason other than to please me. If you go expecting a result, you're going to miss the mark. If you be used in your gift, whatever it is, expecting that you're going to see an immediate result, you've missed the reason for the call. Now, that sounds like anti-faith because we teach and believe, well, when you pray, you believe and God's going to do it. The greater portion of faith is to continue to pray and to continue to seek God even when you don't see results, knowing that someday there will be a result. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Let me say that again. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You go out, you say yes to God. Father, purge me of anything that is ungodly in your sight. Purge me right now. Fill me with the Spirit of God, giving me the boldness and the courage to go. But God, the only reason I'm going is to please you. I may be on a journey here that does nothing more than plant a bunch of seeds. But I have the knowledge, God, I've got the knowledge of your word that says that if I continue to plant and faint not, eventually I will see a harvest. So, you all said that you know what your gift is. If it seems that you're stalled out in it, not getting anywhere with it, and you need to stand before the Lord, then I want you to stand up. If you need to be filled with the Spirit of God, I want you to stand up. I need to stand before a holy God that he would identify in me whatever is necessary that I would not be held back from being used of God. I want to stand before a holy God and have him examine me. And those of you that are standing right now, I want you to close your eyes, raise your hands to God, and I'm going to ask God to begin to stir our hearts towards what needs to be confessed. Father, I just pray right now, as these people are standing before you, God, we are believing that you're going to identify if there be anything in us, God, that we would have that clean heart that David spoke about. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's intimidation. God, whatever it is that would be working against the gift that you've called us to, God, I ask that you identify it right now. And I'm going to just wait a second, and you listen quietly. Don't be talking to God. Just listen to him for a moment. Father, whatever this is that you've identified, we give it over to you right now. And we ask, God, that as we approach the throne of the sovereign God, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would lift this from our hearts, lift this from our minds. God, we want to be used of you. We want to be the answer to your question. And now, how many of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or how many of you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit? I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to open your mouths, and I want you to begin to thank the Lord for his goodness. Say it right out loud. God, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you thanks, God, for all that you're doing. I give you thanks, God, for this gift. I give you thanks, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask that you fill me now in Jesus' name. Fill me now in Jesus' name. God, give me power. Burn out everything, God, that is not of you, and build up everything that is of you that is necessary for me to be used. We praise you, God. Continue to praise him. Continue to praise him. The Spirit of God is moving right now. We need that movement. We need that presence. You need that fire on the inside of you. God, fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire. God, fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I bind every wrong idea, every stronghold, Father, that would prevent people from receiving. I tear those things down right now in the name of Jesus. God, give our minds free way to receive from you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I just remind you of something? That being filled with the Holy Spirit and asking God for the Holy Spirit is the same as when you got saved. You ask in faith and you receive in faith. You may see something or you may not. But if you ask in faith, then God has done what you've asked him to do, and now he expects you to take that gift and go out to your home, your church, your city, your community, and let God use you. Now, be seated for just a second, then I'm going to let you go. You might be sitting there saying, well, you know, I don't know how to put this thing in drive. I don't know how to get this thing going. And this is where the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about, but obviously I'm way out of time. Of being spirit-led. You don't have to do anything except listen to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to make an assumption here this morning that you all, everyone that responded to this, God has cleansed you, God has gotten rid of whatever the hang-up is, you've been filled with power, you're ready to go. Now be listening. And if you're listening, you can't be running your mouth. You've got to be quiet before God and listen to what God says. And when God says go and activate, Whatever your gift is, just go and do it. And don't walk away and say, well, it didn't work, so I'm not. It may not give the result you want instantaneously, but the first step is the step towards the ultimate victory. Okay? Everybody got it? I feel like a general getting ready to send the troops out into battle. And actually, that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to say this to you. Go get them. And don't take no for an answer. Be a salesman for the Lord. A salesman never takes no. Well, I don't know what to say now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. God, bless these people. These are wonderful people. And God, you have so graciously given your gifts. Now, God, we've been empowered. We know we've got to listen to the Spirit, and we've been filled with the Spirit. Now send us out into your field. And for all these things, I thank you. God, God, just be with Fernando and Judy this week as they travel. God, give them a good, refreshing time. God, thank you for their leadership. Thank you for everything that's going on in your church. Bless the elders. God, they've got a heavy burden. And God, give them strength. Give them wisdom. Give them insight. And Father, give us a nature that will be supportive. God, we stand behind our leaders. God, we want to move forward as a mighty army for you. We've taken that first step this morning. So, God, I again bless these people and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed to go. Have you been?